Hello everyone, this is Mark Lane. Welcome into What's Happening in Evangeline Parish. And this is a service of KVPI and our sponsors. We're very pleased to have a man that I've been knowing for a long, long time. And he is well known to a lot of the car buying public here in Ville Platte in Evangeline Parish for probably more than 50 years. And I'm talking about Mr. Ambrose Fontenot, who was the longtime shop foreman. He was the lead mechanic at Pete Ford for many, many, many years. And we're going to jog his memory and talk about Pete Ford and to talk about his life. Mr. Ambrose, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, man. Well, I tell you how it all started.
How did it all start? When did you want to get, how old were you when you started to say, I want to become a mechanic?
I was 20 years old.
20 years old. And your first job as a mechanic was with who?
With Miller Oakland Motors. It was not exactly a mechanic. It was all around. Miller Oakland Motors was located in front of the Oakland Funeral Home. But the dollar store that.
Ah, okay. So that was your very first job.
Yeah, I worked there from 44 to 49.
Now you were telling me, you told us many times, Mr. Ambrose and La Tasse de Café, that during the war years, the dealers couldn't get cars.
Exactly.
But when you started at Miller Oakland Motors in 44, were they getting cars again?
No, they started in 45, 46. 45, the pickup trucks. And large truck. Then late 45 or 46, they started with the cars. And they would come in on four at a time, you know. And the dealer had to have a certified check, no credit then. They'd call in from Baton Rouge or somewhere, and they said, we're coming with four, have a registered check for so much. If you want the car. And they come by and they let them out.
So when you started, what was the price? Well, you said the new cars didn't actually come in until after the war was ended in 45, 46. Somebody that wanted to buy a new Ford at that dealership, how much were those new cars selling or those new trucks were selling for back then?
Well, they were approximately $1,600, $1,700.
Wow.
In that neighborhood.
I guess that's a lot of money back then.
Yeah, that's right. Plenty of money. But during when they started coming out, the wheel and deal sometimes, they'd get a little more money being they were short, you know. So it would...
Now, who ran Miller Oakland Motor back in those days? Who was the dealer?
The dealer was Samuel Miller and... Gilbert O'Coin, Preston's daddy.
And the sales manager, the one who wheeled and dealt with the people, was it Sam himself or who?
Sam was the service manager at the time, and Gilbert O'Coin was the seller.
He was the main salesman.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
And he was pretty good at it, Preston.
Learned a lot from his daddy.
Oh yeah.
Did they have y'all had a pretty good business back in those days?
Yeah, we had plenty to do. We had enough business in 1947. They opened up Mamou Motors in Mamou for a sub dealer. Ford told them, you know, like if we started, you know, start selling cars. Well, they could get some over there. So I went over there where the city fire station is located there now, in the corner of opposite from Kazan Hotel, same block as. We built up a business there. We fixed cars. We sold parts.
Oh.
Big business.
So you had a Ford dealership right there in Mamo.
For a while, yeah. For 2-3 years, 2 3 years, Clinton Morgenthaler was the manager there. I guess she's gone now, but it was many, many years ago. When I started in, there was an old fellow in New Orleans that he gave me a tip on ports, how the port numbering, you know. And it was, I caught that tip, and then I still remember many, many port numbers, you know. Like if you ask me a carburetor port number, 9510, or water pump 8501, or, you know, distributor points 121 71.
You still remember those old numbers?
All old numbers, yeah. 103100, you know. You had some before, you know, to identify a hot top. But he showed me the basic of it, and then I ran with it.
He took off with it after
yeah.
that.
They had that in Arabic. They assembled forge in Arabic.
Ah.
Right next to the river. But then after the war, they turned it into the district office. And they have all the ports and the service deal there. So whenever we needed something.
What was the hottest selling cars after the war? When you started servicing those cars, what were some of the popular models of Fords that were coming out?
Well,
were there any major changes after the war? What did Ford do with those new cars?
Ford changed completely in 49. In 40 up to 48, they had buggy springs, and they were rough riding and everything. But in 49, they changed it complete.
So the suspension was improved a lot.
Oh, everything on that thing was improved. there was so much improved. They didn't want the public to see him. So we went to get him in New Orleans at night.
At night?
At night, we were allowed, if I remember, four for sure there. So we went five or six fellas and picked them up at the plant over there. And you can imagine the people when they saw was a new type of car, they'd fall and they honk.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was brand new, you know, just, and they really sold.
And tell me about show date. Back in the old days, that was a big event, right, for the dealers.
Well, that was the best day. The weekend, a show day.
People would stand in line just to get inside. You had all the windows papered, so y'all didn't want to show how the new cars looked like.
Right? No, it was all a surprise, you know. There was no television and things of the sort. And then you usually had a large cake with different things to drink, you know, to accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the best day was. If they didn't sell a bunch that day, it was not too good.
Uh-huh.
But they really sold cars. Yeah, the people don't believe us when we say that we went as high as 150, 160 cars in a month.
Wow.
They figure out that it can't be, but...
So you were selling that dealership, that Miller...
No, that was Pete Ford.
Oh, Pete Ford.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's jump up now from Miller Oquam Motors. When did you make the jump to Pete Ford? When did Pete Ford come into existence?
In 49.
So Elaine Pete bought the dealership?
In 49, he got the dealership from with the company.
What was Elaine Pete doing before he...
He had a Pontiac dealership.
Pontiac dealership?
He was selling Pontiac, so he did away with Pontiac and Ford come in.
And where was this car lot for the Pontiacs?
The car lot was...
Same place?
Same place, but then he opened up a Pontiac car lot in Oakdale. I don't know who ran it, but he sold some Pontiacs in Oakdale. You couldn't get enough cars these days, so if you could put your hand on one here and one there, you sure you was going to sell it at a profit. So it was wheel and deal.
So when Elaine Pete bought the dealership and moved it to where he was for so many years. You and all the people at Miller Oquine, y'all moved over there as well, Miss Ambrose.
Well, we had from Miller Oquine only two, John Andrews, and I went right away. But then later on, the mechanics came by, you know.
Well, who was some of the original staff? Who did Elaine bring in for salespeople and service people that people would recognize, some of the old originals?
Well, it's been so many years, Mark, I couldn't recall right away.
Was Mr. Maurice there from the beginning?
Mr. Maurice was there, and they had a... Dick Jury.
Kelly was there?
Kelly was there, apart from the beginning, you know. And they had, how do you say that, John LaGlace, he had ice, he had Dios, Moyes Dios.
How about Mr. Tidou Rosa?
Tidou, that was one of the best.
He was a good salesman, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, nice fella, very. Tidou Rosa, and, I can't, you know, it's kind of hard to pass so many.
Exactly.
Just like mechanics and body man, they pass. It was kind of like a school. They come by, and when sometimes they didn't know much, and when they learned enough, they open up a car lot or shop. But I had the best time of my life was when I was working.
You enjoyed working there, didn't you?
Exactly. I'd go way before time, and I enjoy, and I tell the people, you'll make us a favor. If you come to Peak Ford, you're making us a favor. So we try to keep that favor. And we kept, and we sold, and we hopped here and there. And
at one time, I heard that Pete Ford was one of the top-selling dealerships around. Yours moving a lot of vehicles over here.
Oh, they move. They couldn't believe it. We had at a time on the lot where the doctor Landrino is at in the Vidrim Road. We had at least 40, 50 pickup trucks there. And they said, well, they won't sell them all, but we knew something, bye-bye. And we sold as many as 140, 45 one month. And he didn't say, if you sell next month that amount, I'm going to bring you all to a weekend at Grand Isle. So we went to work. We sold 10 more than the allotted figure.
Uh-huh.
So we got in about four or five station wagons. The band and all, he brought the band and all. We went 2 days at the Grand Isle. I remember Adé and Leloire and, you know, there was a dance that Saturday night. They asked the owner if they could take over. So they took over. That I called, you know, you could hear it way down the beach. It was fun. It was fun.
You were telling me that KVPI was close with Pete Ford for so many years. We did a lot of advertising for Pete Ford. And one of the programs that probably people remember, Mr. Ambrose, was that broadcast. Was it every Saturday afternoon? We do a live broadcast from Pete Ford. There was a live Cajun band. And that was Mr. Adé Gilry?
Mr. Adé Gilry and Edouard Vidrine and Kurt Swallow. And we had some people come dancing sometimes while they were playing.
Oh.
And we advertised the shop, the two shops. And I remember about the body shop, I tell them, we can't make a blonde or brunette, what you call, but we're like a big beauty shop, we can change its color or anything you want on that. And we had a lot of work too. That,
so the body shop did good too, huh?
Oh, yeah, we did. Then I tell you, Pete, anything that would come by, he traded. He always wanted to trade.
Tell me about some of the stories you heard about that.
Well, he traded one day, he he tried to come by with a coffee company. He wanted to sell to his coffee company. So he bought the coffee company, and we had the roaster, the grinder, the pot, and everything to make coffee. The grinder, and we had the bags and everything.
So he then bought a whole coffee company?
A whole coffee. And with that, we had a lot of fun. We'd go to the feed store,
uh-huh,
and get like 50 pounds of green coffee. And we come, we roasted the coffee, and then we'd grind it and put it in bags. And then when that was done, we'd get some peanuts. Get a sack of peanuts, and we had fun in the afternoon. We had fun with the peanuts. One day we had too much fun. We forgot the thing on, and it burned up.
Uh-oh, it
broke the thing for what? we had an old fella come by every Saturday morning, and when we'd see him coming,
mm-hmm,
I'd get on the mic and I'd say, "Boudin."
Boudin?
Boudin. And everybody would put everything down. They know that he had a tub full of boudin.
Oh.
Mr. Daddy was the ville. He comes out and you know, boudin around 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad. Any old time, it's not bad. I play calls with his son every once in a while. Highway 13. His name now, Bobby DeVille.
Oh, okay.
I play calls, and he says, "Ambrose, sometimes it would get rough. Daddy would stop at the saloon and drink the boudin." So we had the fun. You know, at one time, Mark, we did about everything. We even at the garage, we cut. We had a glass company. We cut glass for any type of car, a windshield or any type of car, until they started pouring curved glass. Then if you buy a bus, a chassis,
mm-hmm,
we swap the body, put the old body on the new chassis.
Wow.
Fix it up. And different things. Yeah, but then after a while, the insurance companies had some restrictions and this and that, so we had to do away with some of the stuff.
But y'all could do a lot of things back in the old days.
Oh, yeah. We had a paint mixing machine, fix up the color of the paint, and then we, anything, alignment and tune up, anything I guess, we'd do.
Which mechanic worked with you the longest at Pete Ford? Who was the longest serving mechanic that you worked with, Mr. Ambrose?
I think it would be Vernon Fontenot.
Vernon?
Or
he was there a long time.
Or maybe Inez Johnson. I'm not sure. Or Mr. Fred Bilal. He worked a long time. Yeah.
How about in the body shop? Who was some of your body men that worked over there for a long time?
Mr. Ashiri Green and Verbe Swallow and Gervis Mott.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the
all well-known names.
We had the Mia brothers at one time.
From Mamou.
Yeah. Louise and Ben would come by. Mm-hmm. We passed hundreds of them, you know, through the years. I can recall them all. The best thing we did, the funniest, I tell you about it, is about a fella bought a car for his son.
Okay.
The next day, he come by, he says, "Mr. Ambrose, the car stopped going toward Grand Isle."
Uh-oh.
For me to go with the wrecker. I said, my wrecker man will never find it. He says, "He told me where it's at, I'll go with him." So they went in the wrecker. And they went over there and they pick up their own car. I remember Kelly saying they'll have their own car when they come out. At that time, the steering wheel wouldn't lock, you know.
Uh-huh.
All you do is take a rope, tie it, stretch, you know, and put it. I wanted to look in the car. The man had two rods and reels and a can of crawfish. He was in the right shoe trying to get him some more crawfish. We went with that story. Then it was a come down. It was a come down to get him back the car. You know, we had to pick the other car in Baton Rouge,
yeah.
Port Allen.
What was the story that you had shared with us? I think it was either at T&J about a year back, or maybe on La Tasta Cafe, where you had some kind of thing that exploded, some kind of, God, what was it? It was a tire.
Ah,
yeah, tell us the story about the tire.
Yeah, they put in a tire, came in F-250. It was flat in the tail end, and it was lopsided. So I asked the man that fixed the flat to see about it, and he said, okay, I'm going to fix it up. He put a little fluid around there, and he put some air, until the thing blew. It's the marking of steel in the ceiling. the burnt place they call it? BF, I can remember, BF Goodrich.
It's imprinted
in the ceiling. For some to find out, they put a 16 and a half on a 16 inch rim.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they had some few 16 and a half and 17, you know, and it wouldn't fit the rim. And the poor fellow that inflated that tire had a broken arm and broken watch, you know.
He's lucky to be alive.
Lucky, and the Ford Motor Company made me hold the tire a year.
Cool.
When I got insurance. At that time, if it would have been like today, you'd have collected a lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a...
What kind of man was Alain Peet to work for? Was he a good boss to work for, Mr.
Very, very good, very good.
He was very promotion-minded. He was a good salesman, wasn't he? He loved to sell.
Oh, yeah. One year, decided to give a rocker to each car buyer.
A rocker?
A new rocker to each.
And basseurs.
And basseurs. Howard Dupuy had a furniture company. He made furniture.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't keep up.
Uh-oh.
He was so cold, you know, they come in for that rock. What's the matter with that bachelor is not here, right? We want to rock a little bit.
He couldn't keep up with the demand.
No, it had different, you know, incentives, I guess.
Yeah. Let me ask you about one car that probably, when people think of Ford, they think of the Mustang. How popular was that car when the Mustang first came out? Was it a hot seller at Pete Ford?
Well, you couldn't keep them. You had a long list. As fast as you could get them, they'd sell them. And they sold hundreds of them. And they were nice little cars. Altogether different.
It was a completely different type of car.
You had a Ford had an advertisement, an old lady in one of them, and she said, it makes me feel 30 years younger. Well, it's the truth. I have one. I own one. My boy passed away. He had a 67.
Wow.
It's a glacé, you know. And every once in a while, to make me feel young, I take a drive in it.
It still drives good?
Oh, like new.
Wow. A 67.
67.
And the year, well, when did he come out? 65, 64 or something?
Yeah, 64, 65. Started in 64.
Yeah.
At 67, I paid $2,300 for it.
Wow.
And it's a really nice ship, you know, but it's very, they sold.
Out of all the cars that Pete Ford have sold, what was the hottest selling? Was it the Mustang, the T-Bird, was it the trucks?
The truck.
The F-150?
Yeah, the truck.
That's the most popular car, the most truck. Popular selling.
Oh, yeah, the year they came out with no lead, they had a F-100. But then they came out with the F-150. If the truck weighed a certain amount of pounds, you could put regular gas. If it was lighter, you had to put
unleaded.
Unleaded, and people didn't want to you know, they didn't believe in that, so they'd buy the F-150. Couldn't keep no F-150. On account of, it was exactly the same truck, except the F-150 had a little larger size tires, a wheel, and a little larger shock. It didn't take maybe a couple, 200-300 pounds more to.
You know, one other thing I remember, Miss Ambrose, is about Pete Ford and about their promotions was the I think Elaine Pete used to do this almost every year, and that was on his birthday or the anniversary of Pete Ford, he'd bake a big cake, and he'd put silver dollars in there. Do you remember that, Miss Ambrose?
Oh yeah, that was.
Tell me a story, anything about that that you remember.
Well, that was he did that a couple, I think a couple of years. And you can't imagine, I don't remember the size, you know.
But that was a big cake.
Oh, it was in on the tail end of a flatbed truck, I think he put it in. And it was a big hurrah. And we had fun with it. We had fun with it. One year, every year we had a free grease job month.
A what now?
If you come by, we grease your car free.
No charge for the grease job.
No charge. You know, usually it was a buck, you know. They line up for their grease job. And usually, you can't imagine, people don't know underneath that car how bad, how the condition of it. We get that up there, free grease job, and I'd go around there, and you couldn't believe how they needed shocks and tie rods and different things. So about half of them we sold, the grease job of a dollar come out to be 50, 60, 100 bucks. And one of them, I remember old fella, he wanted to check my gun. I said, what's the matter? He said, I might not be no grease in there. So he pulled the trigger and it squirted out. I had fun. I don't remember if I told you, every year he gave a demo to a nun, to the nuns.
A what now?
A new car.
He gave away a new car to
you let him have it for 1 year to the nun.
Wow.
And after, when they changed model, he gave him
another new car?
Yeah, and then he'd sell the other car. And he was selling the used car, trying to sell it to a fella. And at that time, the popular thing was, it's an old woman, an old phone that had that car. He didn't go nowhere, you know. Or a school teacher, you know, they'd go. This time, they said it was a nun. That fella said, no, they began to say a nun driver. He wouldn't believe it. I went to talk with him and I explained him, so he did. But we had trouble with the nuns. Elaine would pay everything except the gas.
All expenses paid, except for the gas, except for the fuel.
And the fuel.
How much was fuel back then?
Oh, fuel.
About 30, 40 cents?
Yeah, exactly, around 40, 50 cents. The nuns would run out of gas every once in a while. Had to go get the nun out of gas. So one day I went, got one, and I brought it in the shop, and I asked her to come in the office. So she came by. I said, you're going to have to write me 100 lines. I had it written down. I must put gas in my car. She says, wait a minute now. You're not serious. I'm the one that's supposed to make you write lines. She got so nervous. You know, about that, she forgot her hobby in the shop.
Uh-oh.
And you know that I measured the hobby and it fit me. So I walk around the shop with the hobby and everybody took the hat and I had fun with it.
Oh, boy.
Now I guess you wouldn't take the hat anymore, you know, because people
things have changed.
Changed a whole lot.
Yeah.
Then I had trouble with an old lady. We put safety inspection stickers, and the registered certificate for your car was pink. We call that a pink slip. old lady came by to put a stick on her car. I asked her if she had her pink slip. Oh, we got her mad. She went up front. She says, "You got a fella with a dirty mind back then." I said, "What's the matter?" "Well, you wanted to know if I had my pink slip." They come by with it. I said, "Well, it's not this. It's the paper. They call it
the pink slip."
Pink slip.
She took it the wrong way.
Oh, she took it the wrong way. It was a battle.
How many years you worked on cars, Mr. Ambrose?
Oh, I'd say
50 years at least.
About. You see, I started 44. I retired in 95.
Did you start when they switched over to computers? Were you working on them too, or you?
No, that's when
you got out of it. Huh?
I got out of it. I couldn't handle the. We had to learn them, you know, but I couldn't. That was in 95, but that's 2-3 years in between Pete Ford and TNG, I didn't work. I guess about 47, 48, maybe, if I don't know.
Right around 50 years. And you probably worked on thousands of cars, huh?
Yes.
Thousands and thousands of cars.
Sold thousands of them. So we sell.
Was there ever a car you couldn't find out what was wrong with it? You scratched your head. You couldn't find out what was wrong with it.
Sometimes it would take a good while. Sometimes take a good while. We had to call in the district. But usually they send in bulletins, and if you keep up with the bulletin, you'd know
if there was a little problem.
Yeah, if there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, I had fun working. 1 year. The company called me up. They said, "Mr. Ambrose, you're the top salesman." I was in Porsche then.
Uh-huh.
"You're the top salesman in the district. So call up your wife. We'll take you out to Mexico City for a week."
Mexico?
Yeah, Mexico City. So I called Ambrose, and she was a nurse then. You know, she says, "Be glad." I never rode an airplane before. That was a tough ride to begin with, you know. We went to Mexico and had the time of our lives.
You had a good time.
Oh,
that's great.
Then they come out a few years later. They call me up. They say, "How about you come spend a week at the in Detroit?"
Where they make the cars?
Yeah. So when that was when the 64 they were making the Mustang and the Bronco.
So you got to see them make their Broncos,
yeah,
and the Mustang?
We went through that on the second floor. You know, I got really fond with them.
Oh.
But what got me is when we were 500 across the nation. They had the Cadillac Hotel rented. What got me is, though, they called in, "We're having breakfast. Look under your coffee cup. You have a free ride at the texting ground, maybe." So I look on that, I had a free ride. Talk about excited to go on the testing ground in Detroit, you know. So when I was there, it was all race cars they had.
So you had to drive a race car?
I didn't drive, I rode one.
You rode a race car?
But I didn't pick a small one, I pick a full-size Fordell for the car, you know. It was made to run, and it had protection, the rollers, you know. That fella took in there, we're always on, it's like a figure eight. He was always sitting on 2 wheels. That was a long trip.
Oh.
It lasted about 5 minutes, but to me, I got down, I almost couldn't walk.
How fast was he going?
Oh, yeah, all it could go.
Back in the, before we run out of time, I want to ask you, back in the old days, Pete Ford and at Miller Oquin, people used to talk in French, huh? C'est la langage était tout en français.
Oh, ouais.
You
oh,
did business in French.
Oh, ouais. Oui, tout en français. C'est rare, de temps en temps, d'en frapper. Tu es dans le temps de l'huile. Tant de l'huile, la lumière, joliment du monde avec le plus haut d'huile à l'ange des têtes, ça fait.
Yeah, the English-speaking people.
Yeah, it started to mold, you know, as it went.
I bet you could write a book, Mr. Ambrose, about all those stories, huh?
I could.
Yeah, a lot of...
Then in 79, went to the Bahamas.
Another free trip?
Free trip at the Bahamas.
Oh.
God dang, I had enjoyed the Bahamas. Then before that, Warren Saltoin, Chuck, had won a trip to Puerto Rico.
Wow.
And he didn't want to go. Something happened that he... So he says, Ambrose, if you want, go as my place, you know.
He went to Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico. You had to pay a little tax, you know. They gave you a W-2 form. You had to pay a little tax on that. Went to Puerto Rico, enjoyed it, and went to Oklahoma City.
Boy, you've been all over then.
Oh, yeah. We had Oklahoma City. They come by, they give me a call. You couldn't get in the club unless you had an ID at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was all private.
Private parties?
They're too private. Mais t'en parles français, tu m'imagines pas. Les vieux revenaient, il y en a un qui est venu, il va jamais oublier. Il disait, il va donner tant et tant de 100 piastres pour le pick-up. Et ça dit non, ça veut pas. Il passe au radement, il dit, si je décide de me vendre le truck là, pour tant et tant, je vais l'acheter.
Mm-hmm.
Et je vais acheter avec une pite. Mais il a échappé faire 100 piastres. Tu connais où il est? Je dis, ouais, c'est que je montais. J'étais le joindre. Et on est revenu, il a fait le bargain.
Hot dog.
Là, dans ce temps, les vieux, là, et c'était du cash.
Cash, hein?
Cash. Là, j'ai oublié, il y en a un qui est venu. Il a compté ses 1800 piastres dans son. Dans mon service truck. J'avais été le chacha dans ce village-là. Il a compté ses affaires comme ça. Dans la gestion de
$1,800 cash.
Cash money.
God. Well, that's one thing I remember about Pete Ford. Y'all like to wheel and deal. Y'all like to make deals. Hein?
Oh,
you didn't like to do that.
Yeah, c'est le. Un jour, il y a eu un truck avec du sirop. Un truck plein de sirop.
A truck full of what, sir?
Syrup. Homemade syrup.
Homemade syrup.
Yeah, from Wattel, from Washington, somewhere. La mère a 13 ça, elle est en 13. Mais qui t'y a fait avec tout ce sirop? On a serré ça, quand c'est venu pour Christmas, il a fait des pamphlets, on a mis Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, compliments, Pete Ford Company. Pour Christmas, on les donnait chacun un.
Oh, what now? What was that?
Client.
Some what?
Some syrup.
Some syrup.
All that syrup went pour Christmas,
mm-hmm.
On les donnait chacun un demi-gallon. Ça faisait l'affaire aller.
That's amazing.
Ça faisait l'affaire aller. Et je n'ai jamais compté pour le beau qui prenait mes aspen.
This is a fellow, let's say this in English, it was a fellow who was taking aspirin?
Yeah, he combined, he had a migraine, a headache.
A bad migraine headache.
Yeah, he hot thing. I said, well, I opened the drawer of the cabinet unit. I had some bottles of aspirin. We buy that in 100, you know. I said, look, the bar, I caught the bottle, I said, here. So I noticed he took maybe a dozen aspirin.
Oh.
And he passed it to the mart, you know, and he took, I guess, a couple of them. And he left. Next time he come over, he had a headache again. So he come by and I said, I got the aspirin. You don't believe he come out the third time? So I fix him up.
Yeah, he had a headache again the third time?
Headache again, you know. I went to the drugstore. Right there, Fontenot was a drugstore. I asked for some laxative, the same size as aspirin. So I put that in that aspirin bottle. Old fella come by, oh, he says, I have a terrible headache. I said, you know, what they had. And you know, he come by, he took 2-3, and he left. And at that time, it was sugar cane cutting time.
Mm-hmm.
So he came from a large parish, and going back, he had to stay part of the time in the cane field. So when he got back again, he come every month to pay a note. he stopped at the door and he looked at me. I said, now what's going to happen? So I went to meet him. I said, what's the matter, Mr.
Mr. So-and-so?
Yeah, Mr. Gaspar, I think. He said, you know what's the matter, you rascal. You know, I said, what happened? So he told him, I said, it's not my fault if you took the wrong bottle. You know, he quit. Every time he'd come, no more headache.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No more headache. Oh, what a good joke. What a good story. Mr. Ambrose, thank you for sharing this story and all your wonderful memories about your life as a mechanic, as a salesman, a parts manager. Wonderful stories. And again, we want to thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, merci, Mr. Ambrose.
Enjoy, sir.